talking about Muay Thai. Okay, so we are recording. Yeah, we do have Peter on spotlight. So do give me a moment just while I do our introductions and then we can get going. So today, everybody, welcome. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world. Today, Peter will be talking about egregores. We'll be looking at egregores and big companies and how egregores can control your life. And we will also be moving after the Q&A into our monthly membership, where Peter will be talking about how to create and maintain egregores. So, Peter, could you please just let everyone know the difference between the Q&A call and then what you will be discussing and teaching in the magical membership call, which is shortly after.
About generally what egregores can do at the moment, and you know, particularly do the in your own life, still as being companies. But on the workshop, we actually can be dealing with how to control them, how to get rid of the ones you don't want, how to break them down, how to influence the change, and also the ones you want to maintain and use, how to actually do that, empower them, set them, give them purpose, and so on. So we're going to do all the practical side there. I'll be answering any questions you like today as well. But basically, I was going to be introducing today, so you know what it's all about. Egregores can be quite a deep subject when you get into it.
And you have written a blog on egregores. The link will be going in the chat very quickly. There we go. The link will be going in the chat, so you can have a look at the blog after today's call if you have not already done so. But Peter, what is an egregore? Because some people might not know who are on the call.
An egregore is basically like a large thought form. When one or more person or several people get together with the same idea, the thought form has a force which maintains itself, becomes like a living thing. So it'll carry on the same purpose which is created. It's now having an influence on the astral plane. It's basically a conglomeration of energies, of thoughts, which actually becomes a living form. They form in many ways. You know, habits is a form of egregore, because it's once something's maintained, with an emotion and repetition, it keeps repeating itself. This is why habits are hard to break. You can't do them rationally. They're just a force compelling you. That's a kind of egregore. But groups of egregores, once it's formed, that group continues the same purpose, and it's really hard to make any change because it keeps following that egregore, whatever it's created for. A mob can have an egregore, but it's a short-lived one. This is why people in a mob will do things they wouldn't do alone. That's only taken over by the group energy. So any group energy has an egregore. A relationship has an egregore.
Okay, and so you know, you'll be introducing egregores on this call. Yeah. We're going more into how to control or how to create and maintain egregores for your personal benefit in the Q&A. Yep. And then tomorrow in the students' Q&A, what will you be talking about? Because it's normally an evolution of, or you know, a topic that is highly related to whatever it is that you will talk today.
We go into more of the magical, obviously, because it's a magical students group. We go more into how to use magic to work this more deeply. The magic of you working with egregores and changing them and controlling them and so on. There were some occult tools which are used there to take control.
So for those of you who are a student of any kind of Peter's, then you're welcome to join us on the call tomorrow, which is at the same time, 10 a.m. UK time. We will be here for approximately one and a half hours. And today we have just 1 hour because we do need to move into the workshop afterwards. So it is for us 7 minutes past the hour. So we will go up until the hour. And then at 30 minutes past the next hour, we will begin the workshop. So if you're in the UK, that will be at 11:30. If you're here, it is 5:30. Please calculate your own time zones. Thank you very much. All right, Peter, that's it from me. Thank you.
Okay, so let's carry on talking about what egregores are and how they form. I said any kind of group that gets together with a common purpose form an egregore, and because they're combined thoughts, the energy is combined in that group, and you form a separate entity which influences everybody within it. Same thing happens in a relationship. When you deal with a relationship, it's not just the two people. A group consciousness forms between them, because that relationship too has a purpose of some kind, whether it's to get to the love or just have fun together, whatever it is, that egregore has a certain purpose. Now, it's not always a positive one. Some people bond out of pain. This is why people keep hurting each other all the time, because that's how they're bonded. The relationship continues to do that. You know, the egregore is such that they'll keep hurting each other to be close. So you can see it's worth taking control of the egregores, you can see how they're controlling your life. So let's look at, first of all, why they form. Well, they form for a purpose because they're actually very useful. If you want to take control of them, they help get things done. This way, with a group, say in a business, it keeps the group together. If a group gets together a common purpose, the egregore is now leading in the same direction, so that group can fulfill its purpose. That's what the egregore is really there for. wherever you started, it wants to finish. Now, every thought usually dissolves quite quickly. If it's backed up with emotion and repetition, it starts forming this egregore, a living thing which now wants to continue. So any kind of strong thought one put out there, which is repeated with emotion, will become a living thing. In groups is easy because so many people are joined together, even if it's a short-lived egregore, like in a mob. You know, it can lead to miracles and mob violence. A group together, people get together really emotional with a kind of some anger that takes over and leads the whole group into something really destructive. Then when the group dissipates, that all energy is gone, people go back to the normal, they're back to themselves. Caught up within the group, they're not behaving the same as when they're on their own. You may even notice in your family, something I've noticed in the past, you go back to your family and meet them all at Christmas and suddenly you're in a whole different energy. You didn't do the things you set out to do because suddenly the family energy is taken over, you're back in old patterns. That's because you're still a part of that egregore. So the egregore will continue every time that group gets together again. And as you can see, it's always a positive thing. Some of them it is. It's like even when you form a healing group, for instance, the egregore keeps the group together doing the healing. But if it's like, you know, that you it wasn't formed consciously, you're an egregore which is there bonding out of pain or kind of getting at having arguments or anger all the time, it'll keep doing that. Now, the way it works in companies, obviously, the company wants to get together to make money. Obviously, there's another first part to that. There's a certain way in which they make money. They have certain kind of goals in that company. And so this is what the egregore is formed for. All people who are within that become part of that purpose, put energy into it, and now they're being led in that direction. What will happen then is that as that egregore grows stronger, it takes over. People become so much part of the egregore, they forget everything else. You know, they affect the conscience. They're there to make money at any cost, and they forget anything else that might get in the way, which is good for the business because they want to keep growing. What happens, though, is that the company becomes more and more ruthless because they just want to keep making money at any cost. There's any kind of moral considerations or conscience are kind of secondary to the egregore, therefore get left behind. This way, egregore is getting really negative in the end. Each company wants to make loads of money and they'll walk on everybody else to get it. Then they're competing. Now, there's a point when an egregore becomes vampiric because it wants to feed itself. Every living thing needs to feed. You can feed the egregore consciously so it keeps growing. If you're not aware of it, it'll feed off you anyway. All the people in that group are putting energy into its egregore, it's feeding off them. If they're not conscious of it, it'll actually take over them and actually keep fulfilling the purpose of the egregore. It means they're now part of that group totally. Everybody's totally 100% in that business, doing exactly what they're expected to do. They forget their own conscience or their own principles, everything else, and they're making money for that company. That's why it's so easy for it to get corrupted. However, there are ways you can influence them. Now, when I first looked at the tools for creating, for affecting egregores, they were quite simple and basic. You know, you realize it's a living thing you can talk to. And you're not dealing with the people because it's like they only responded to the egregore. A simple example, if you go and see a bank manager, you can't get through to him because he's actually doing what the egregore is telling him to do. There are certain principles they follow. And I discovered this long ago, talking to the bank manager wasn't bringing him anywhere. If I spoke to the egregore behind him, then the whole group, the whole bank, changes its principle according to what I've told it. Then the people in charge, who seem to be in charge at the time, give you the decision that you want. Not because you talk to the person, because you talk to the egregore behind him. You can talk to an egregore like a living thing if you're aware of it. You can picture it as a big, massive energy or huge person that dominates all the rest of them. You put strong ideas into its mind and it starts taking them on. You realize it's got a purpose and you start putting new ideas into it so it grows and expands and takes on a new principle. That way you're changing it, causing a reform. So for groups which are not aware of their egregore, you can actually take a certain amount of control, tell the egregore what to do, so it starts working in your favor. But obviously, not every group is possible, that's possible with, obviously, with a bank. It's like, yes, they're out to actually do certain business with you, therefore they can be influenced to how they're going to go about that. A big faceless company that's out to kind of crush everybody else and make money is not so easy. So what do you do about them? Well, there's several things. Beyond the first idea of actually putting a thought into the egregore, I found that there were tools in psionics that made it a little bit easier. It involves the old orgone generators and frequency generators. You simply pull the orgone, set to a certain frequency of the egregore. So when you speak, it's amplifying the energy, but tune it to the egregore. That's very simple. However, that's still limited. There's so much more you can do if you can understand the energy patterns that can influence it, and the different thoughts that can go into it. Like, for instance, everything has an egregore is like a very animal in its nature because it's so instinctive, it's very so basic. It can respond to certain stimuli. For instance, you can actually cause the egregore to experience pain if it does a certain kind of behavior, which means all the people in that egregore won't like what they're doing. This is a very useful one. And there are stronger tools as well than having to talk to egregore and keep putting thought into it. This is where the Sinex is a bit more. When you look at my Sinex charts, you know, it's easy to actually set up a chart for the egregore itself. The easiest thing to do is actually, first of all, douse a ray pattern for that egregore, stick it into the target box. Otherwise, you can try just writing the name, but a ray pattern will actually tune it more. You can then actually simply write in the trend box the behavior you want it to absorb, or the new pattern, the new kind of reaction, and douse the rate for it in the, into the rate box. And actually, it's now integrating that particular thought form into the egregore. As an example, if this company is doing some harmful things, and I'm saying, I'm putting this new reaction into the egregore that every time it does this, they experience pain, that's the thought form that can have the rate as well. I can go to the chart. What'll happen then, as this company is doing the same old thing, the people start getting very upset about it. Changes. And this is very instinctive. I don't even actually have to be conscious of what's happening, because we so instinctively act to avoid pain and seek pleasure. If something's painful, you tend to stop doing it. This is one of the important points of control for such primitive beings. See, what's happening is that the egregore is actually giving a certain amount of pleasure for doing what they're doing. They're feeding the egregore, and the egregore is holding together, making them feel good. You see, this is a business. It's making people pat on the head, making you feel good for making it more money, raising up the system, even though you're doing something really bad. You change that, put the thought into the egregore that this causes pain instead. When people feel that, they all start changing. That's the simplest way to start affecting it. Basic pain and pleasure mechanism. Different kinds of negative emotions to put in, which you might consider more appropriate according to the nature of the group. Now, often they don't have a conscience, so it doesn't work. Conscience is gone, taking the role of an egregore. It has to be a very simple pain-pleasure response. But the different kinds of pain. It can be physical pain. It can be mental and emotional pain. And according to the nature of the egregore, one of or other of those might be more appropriate, according to for the people in it as well. Some people are more responsive to emotional pain. Some people don't handle physical pain very well. So quite often it's worth dowsing to teach who's going to actually work better. So that's one way of actually influencing that egregore, if you deal with a big company. Now, a big company becomes vampiric because that purpose now of actually just making money at every expense is taking everybody's energy. The egregore is growing bigger and bigger and bigger. People getting more and more corrupt. It's taking over. So it's obviously the best way to deal with it is to deal with the egregore rather than the people. You won't change them. You won't change by talking to them or trying to appeal to them in any way. The conscience is gone. You want to try and change the egregore first. If you destroy the egregore, the company falls apart. If it's a huge egregore, the first thing is to create this pain response so it can actually change its behavior and where it's going. So we can start influencing the kind of movements of these big companies in that way. It does work. You get small results at first, but I've been playing with it lately and it's working. Interesting one, we actually look at this whole thing of censorship as an example. It's not even necessarily one group, but the censorship itself is now an egregore which affects many different companies. Censoring the internet, taking away freedom of speech, cutting people off to say the wrong thing. You might have noticed I've had a problem with this before, but it's not there today, is it? Admin was talking to me, can't you do something? Because there's already so much interference. It seemed to hit in censorship, and messages weren't getting to people, couldn't get their links and so on. Now there's nothing. How'd that happen? Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Create something, so when they try and censor this, everything turns against them. It doesn't work. The thing is, an egregore will affect artificial intelligence too. When they've set up this kind of algorithms in their kind of sensory mechanism, it's not people doing it anymore. But that whole thing itself is an egregore. It's made to do a certain job, which means you'll actually change the algorithms of the computers by affecting the egregore, and suddenly they're not being censored. See how valuable this can be? But thinking creatively here, not actually dealing with the problem that's facing you, dealing with what's behind it. When you deal with the egregores, you're dealing with a causative level of many different things. Now, relationships. very good one to actually nurture and heal. You know, if you're in a relationship with somebody, you want it to be a good one. If it's been built on, say, bonding through pain, that's an energy you want to dissolve. So again, you change the mechanism. You might make a psionic chart for the relationship. You can just put your names in it and put your relationship in it, or just put out a pattern for it, whatever you want. Then think of the behaviors you want to change. If there's a technique of bonding the pain, you kind of find a way to neutralize that. Then you want to create love between you, find a way for that. You start affecting how that egregore is working. So you see, these are very simple ways you can actually take control of what's behind many problems. When you understand how egregore is affecting everybody, when there's one or more, when there's more than one person together, there's an egregore forming. Relationship between two people or relationship between a whole group, the egregore is now affecting them all. Affect that, it affects all the people within it. Okay, any questions so far?
Yes, we do. But may I go over to here? So the first question is, it seems to me that some of the organisations developing means of power and control of others will disintegrate easier if those, hopefully many, who have grown disenchanted within them were not afraid of being outcast and unable to make a living. So there is a kind of double egregore at work.
Oh, definitely. So, there is.
Yeah.
So number one.
Okay, so yeah, please carry on.
Yeah, they egregore all the people who are actually still compliant. Egregore the people who are not, who are fighting back, and egregore the company. It's actually three egregores you're looking at there. They all need influencing. Obviously, you want to strengthen the ones who actually are fighting back and saying no. The ones in the compliance, you want to actually change that. Stop them being compliant again, to actually join with the other group. It's a bit like when you look at set theory in mathematics, different sets, which are in separate from each other. If you actually bond together energetically, you can make one set become a part of another one. So you can actually cause all the compliant ones to change and become the non-compliant ones by working with a different egregore that way. Simple way to do that is take the energy pattern of the non-compliance and put that in the psionic chart into the compliant ones so they change the pattern. So that's a good way you can do that when you're working on the whole this way.
So I just want to make sure that the question is answered. So they said it seems to me that some of the organisations developing the power and control of others would disintegrate easier if those who were grown disenchanted within them were not afraid of being outcast and unable to make a living. So that's is there a kind of double egregore at work? So the first one being the wish for control over, and the second one, the fear of not being able to survive if they were to leave. Or is this a misunderstanding?
That's what I was saying. There's actually three egregores. There's the group who want control, there's one's being controlled, and the one's not being controlled. So you affect the three of them. The one who's up to control, you want to actually change that. Make sure they have pain when they're trying to control. Also break it down, make it weaker, diminish energy so it becomes less. Then the company fails and people become free of it. So if you destroy the egregore, the people in it will become human again. Whereas all these people are compliant, yes, they're also in egregore. They're the ones controlled by fear because that's always been there. The fear in the whole egregore keeps them in place. They all feel the same fear because the egregore feels it. If you can dissolve the egregore, then those people start breaking free. They become human again and start making their own decisions rather than following the word. So some egregores you want to try and break down if they're really huge and it's easy to try and change them by putting your thought pattern into them. So in this case, you know, you want to strengthen the ones who are rebelling and not accepting the control, and you want to take that energy into the group who are still in control so they change and become like the ones who say no. They actually can then take on that same courage. Same time, you can actually do a chart for the ones who are being controlled and do rates to dissolve their fear and their tendency being controlled. See, that is an egregore as well. It's even beyond their emotions. It's a habit. They've always been controlled. They don't even necessarily consciously feel the feeling, or they're almost responding automatically because they're in an egregore. So those patterns can be dissolved in the egregore or weakened, and you can actually put the energy of a different group into that group so they change. You give them the same energy pattern as the ones who are rebelling. Then they all say no. Same time, you weaken the egregore of the company that's controlling, and they can't keep control. So it's a three-way attack rather than two.
The next question. How precisely do we have to define an egregore we may want to redirect? For example, if it was a country, is it the federal government or the federal legislative bodies of the country or the people who are making the laws or independently creating executive orders or judicial bodies like Supreme Courts, for example, the IRS?
Well, they'd like to think they're in control, but actually their control is only the minds of the people, isn't it? They're actually a minority when you look at how number of people in the country. If you affect the whole group of people, the government can't control them. So you have to take all these into consideration. You affect the government, the kind of Supreme Courts, you look at their egregores too. I mean, they are very fixed. Courts in particular kind of have the certain law written in and how you do things, it's always done the same way. It doesn't matter if it's right anymore because it's like, it goes by the book. Government is different. They're a corporation. This is something people need to understand. Governments are actually registered corporations who run for profit. What they sell is legislation. When you look at that, what they're really selling is your human rights. When you vote, you contract. In any corporation, every 5 years they vote for a new CEO. It doesn't change the principles of the company or its policies, it only changes the CEO. Same thing is true for government. You're voting for a new CEO, it won't change what the government does. It'll still continue selling your human rights to other big corporations. That's why there's not really any significant difference between one side or another in the government, which party. They seem to have difference on the outside, on the surface, but underneath they simply going to do the same thing, sell your human rights to big corporations. The reason they have to look like there's conflict is to make people vote. If there was so much difference, people wouldn't be able to vote. They have to stir up some emotion that I really don't like this party, so they've had to go for that one instead, and people start fighting, and he wants to vote. Therefore, they all contract. Nobody voted, they couldn't govern you because they're not being contracted. They're a corporation member. It's run on certain legal principles. If you understand that, you would deal with them differently. First of all, don't vote, you're giving your power away. You're never going to change anything by voting because all they do is carry on selling us human rights. Don't expect them to do anything for you. You do that yourself, you create your own reality. So in deal with a country, you deal with the people, you want to wake them up to the truth. You can deal with Supreme Courts. The government itself actually wants breaking down, every single one of them. They're corporations that exist by selling your human rights. They're all empiric in their nature. That's the very nature of governments in our world today. None of them are any good. That's all just illusion. You won't change the world by trying to get voting for one government or another. The kind of difference between them is superficial. It's all just a big drama going out there which shows them. Makes them fight. They sort of get your attention to make you vote. If you want to affect a country, first of all, remember the people. These are the important ones. The government only controls them through these illusions, through these lies, these kind of patterns they set up. So the government itself is now controlling the egregore of the people. They're aware of this. They use a certain form of magic to control the egregore. It's how they get everybody under control. If you do better than them, you take control away from the government, change people in a better direction. And luckily, with the new tools I'm putting out now, we can be more powerful than the governments who are controlling them. We're using a higher level of magic now, higher level of psionics. So you use these tools, you can actually then work on the egregores of the people. You can weaken the egregore of the government. You can actually change the egregore of the Supreme Court to actually do things in a more positive way and actually break out old patterns. You can get the people to wake up. As it even in the people, there's two different groups. There's those who are compliant and those who see through the bullshit. So work with both. Take the pattern of those who see through it as an awakening pattern and use that in the other group to wake them up too, because there's already a pattern set there that you can amplify and use.
Thank you. Next question. In our process of reducing the impact of a harmful or unwanted egregore, can we empower those people who genuinely are working in the best interest of human rights and freedoms and cannot accomplish anything meaningful if they cannot push through the dense ignorance that is pervasive among the politicians or decision makers?
As I pointed out with politicians, it's not really ignorance. They're doing this deliberately. They're not your friends. They're part of a control system because the government itself is a corporation. It's a vampiric corporation, its very nature is parasitical. I mean, what does it produce? It sells your human rights. It's not producing anything useful to sell, it's selling your human rights. Because when you sell legislation, they're giving, they're letting these big corporations decide how you have to behave so they can make more money. They're taking human rights away. That's what they're selling. How can that ever be a positive thing? Now, the governments or the egregores need weakening and dissolving, so they lose their power over people. People see through the illusion. What we need to break down the people is this illusion that we put under this spell. It's the old pattern where they've been bought to the same old lie for so long now that it seems accepted as the truth. We need to break down the egregore of that lie that's in all the people. Break down the egregore of blindly following that pattern. Those are the egregores you can break down.
But do you not think that there might be some young, budding, very recently graduated, want to be politicians who come into that kind of career with a genuine desire to improve their community and humanity? I think that's the kind of thing that this question is getting at. Those people that they think, they believe that they're fighting for that.
They might start that way, but they don't get far. The system won't let them. You either crush them out of them, put them back in line, or they're out. They won't get far.
But that's what this question is asking, is can those people be empowered?
It's not going to be in that level, because in the present system, they can't succeed. You've got to change the bigger rule first. You want to make change in the whole system so those people can get into the right place. They can do what they need to do. That way you have to break down this old pattern of everybody following the same old rubbish, the same old control mechanisms. The old one has to break down. Or change it. Remember, if there's the system exists, even outside the government, there's a certain pattern that the country lives in. It has its own egregore that's not quite defined yet. It's not just the government. It's a whole pattern of certain behaviour that's been set by social standards, by governments, by legislation, by the religions of that country. They're all part of the country's behaviour and how they act. There's a certain standard of behaviour everybody's holding, irrespective of who's in government now. This has been built over centuries. It's not just the government who's doing it. The government's trying to lead them in a new direction, but there's already a huge egregore in each country, in each group of people. You need to look at what the whole is doing and look at what you can do to actually change that. Recognize within each country, okay, it's not to do with a particular politician anymore. It's looking at this behavior they're stuck in. Are they still following the same lies? Are they still believing the same stuff? Are they still having the same limitations, same fears? Those are the patterns you're going to change in the egregore. Find rates for them, neutralize them, put in better behaviors, find rates for those who put them in. That way you can start changing the whole country. You change that general egregore, then how things play out will change. You create a different system which the white people can get into a good position where they can do some good. But the whole egregore has to change to do that.
Next question. If we create our own egregore, what prevents it from taking on a life of its own, which is not accomplishing what we intended to create?
Well, it will be accomplishing its original purpose. See, when you create one, there's a purpose. It may be that if it wasn't a deliberate one, like a habit, for instance, you know, you do something. The way a habit forms is that if you're not conscious, there's a pleasure, it's not raised to enjoyment by conscious participation. So you can do something you made pleasurable, you're not actually giving it full attention though. That becomes a habit because you're not conscious. It becomes an addiction. Things become a habit and addiction when you're not conscious. So basically pleasures have to be raised to enjoyment through conscious awareness. So this is how habits form. They're also egregores. You might do something that's enjoyable, and suddenly you're always doing it, and you can't stop it. That's an egregore. And they're not always healthy, as you see. You could be eating, could be smoking, too much drinking. These are egregores now forming a habit that you can't break free of. It's compelling you, because the egregore is continuing itself. That's a good example of an egregore that's not consciously created, but it's not doing any good. Then you can actually dissolve that and break it down. Obviously, when you create a positive one, you do it consciously with a purpose. You put thought into something that you want. Every time you visualize a goal, you're doing this. You see, when you're creating a future, particularly future, it's first exists an egregore, isn't it? You're putting a thought that's out there trying to manifest. It's a living thing now, wants to manifest, wants to feed off you. Now, this is useful because by feeding off you, it's feeding the right emotion that creates it. That's where it gets easier to visualize a goal with time because the emotion is repeating itself. So that's a useful way of how egregores work automatically. I visualize a particular future where I'm happy and successful, all this is happening. I'm creating that emotion, and that'll feed off me to repeat that emotion. Until I create that future, then it manifests and it's done. The egregore is now actually physical. It's become a physical reality. So you see how energies change there from one level to next as they manifest. Every egregore is actually trying to manifest physically in some way. Trying to create a result on the earth. When that result is complete, it's like, okay, the egregore has finished its purpose and dies, or else it'll just live within it so it maintain it. Turns on the nature of that that creation.
So going on to some practicalities now, you talk about creating ray patterns when you're using the psionics chart. Mm-hmm. The question is it more preferable to create the ray pattern than working with the logo of a company when wanting to disintegrate or whatever the egregores?
The logo will work because it's really that company, yes.
Is there a preference?
With a ray pattern, it's like coming out of your own unconscious and it's picking up what's best works for your link to that company. So yeah, it is always useful to do that. It's the best thing. It is the most direct link to any egregore you want to work with.
And are there methods other than psionics to help work with egregores?
Traditionally, it was actually just concentrating a thought into it. It takes a lot of focus. It takes a lot of work. You can use rituals to help. Even magical methods are not that much different from psionics because you're actually creating a strong thought to affect it, or what they call a demon. Demon would be set up with a certain purpose to affect the egregore. Demon itself is just really another egregore in that case. Of course, there are some ones that already exist, but often you create a new one with a certain purpose as an egregore. They can be sent out to affect something. So it's all very much the same principle applying here. There's different ways of achieving that goal. And just finding psionics is much easier because you set it on a chart, put a power source in it, keeps feeding it. It takes a lot of the work out of it. You're here to make things easier after all, aren't we?
I still can't get over the thought of that I'm cheating when I use psionics. Like, this is too easy.
Well, this is the kind of condition we're in, isn't it? It's like, it's actually part of the Christian conditioning that, you know, this deadly sin called sloth. If you're not working hard, you're lazy.
Yeah.
If you find an easy way, you're being lazy. Now, interesting that even look at some of the old demons. Belphegor, in Christianity, he's seen as demon of sloth, one of the deadly sins. But actually, he's the patron of all inventors who make things that make your life easier. All these inventors who make things, all these gadgets around you make life easier, like just like your washing machines that work automatic and everything that works automatically make life easier. Is this all evil? No, it's how do you use it? You can be really lazy and do nothing. But actually, if you have gadgets that make your life easier to get the job done, this is good. The job wants to be, if the job is done easier, you get more done. See what I mean? It's how you use it, you see. If because it's easy, you do nothing, that's sloth. If it's easier, so you do more, that's good, isn't it? Get more done because it's easier.
Hmm.
It's about having purpose again, having direction, having a focus and intention.
And speaking of intention, that brings us nicely onto our next question, which is how powerful can pure intention be?
Intention is what directs the power. It's not power itself that has to be provided. Intention is the focal point. It's like, you know, you're giving it direction. There could be energy behind it. Intention isn't all of it. It's only one of the ingredients. What gives something energy is the emotion of it, plus life force, of course, which is linked to your emotions. The more alive you are, the more emotion you feel. You can put more joy and more happiness and expectation to things. That's your life force. It's the chi, the prana. This is basically what the kind of sonic energy is generating, putting more energy into your intention. Your intention is still what focuses it. So you need a good, clear, strong intention, plus you need to put some energy into that.
And can you speak a little bit more about enormous egregores, such as the ones that might be at play with Russia and Ukraine situation, but not too much because we need to get onto the other questions.
Yeah. Well, obviously, a bigger one takes more energy. So I'm saying it's very hard to destroy it, but what we can do is start changing it. Or as the easiest thing is to put in some simple pain mechanism. So if they keep doing that behavior, it hurts them. That's the best thing to make change anything that primitive. That's the easiest angle to work with. But of course, if it's huge, it's going to take more energy. And so you're going to the higher level sonic chart. So you're drawing up all these powers of the universe to actually put a lot of energy into that thought. So yeah, it's traditional methods not going to be strong enough. That's why it's been done yet. But we're getting close to getting there by having stronger sonic tools. We can start focusing this now. So you can actually work on a huge egregores. And the bigger ones, really, are things like the World Economic Forum, because they get all the big businesses together for the same purpose, so they can dominate everybody else. Those are the big egregores that do the real damage. Or the whole world banking system. Government's not actually the top. That's another corporation, remember. Now, each corporation is often owned by a bigger corporation. For instance, the British government is owned by Lockheed Martin, which is an American arms dealer, because they've got more money. They're the ruling, they're the ones who own the British government. The American government is owned by Rothschilds and Morgan Banks, mostly. They have other shareholders further down, but they're the top ones. They have shareholders, therefore certain people own them. Bigger companies own them. Government's not the biggest corporations. The bigger ones are things like BlackRock. You know, these huge corporations with all the money. These are the ones who own all these things. They're the ones pulling the strings so they can make more money. And therefore, because they're above the government, they control how the government's affect you as well. This is how the pyramid is really working. It's about corporations. The biggest corporations we're going for are these massive, massive money-making corporations. The bigger ones own all the smaller corporations. Those are the bigger egregores. Petting those is a bigger job because they're huge. That's what we've got to go for if we want to change. Of course, remember that the dealing of the people of the world is much bigger than them, really. You know, they're only working because they're affected by these minds, working in the normal conditioned behavior patterns. Change the people and those companies can't exist. They can't succeed anymore. So there's different angles to work on there. There's still huge, huge, huge egregores here. The egregore of the people, the egregore of the huge corporations.
I'm wondering if these next questions are suitable for the workshop, Nick. So if you're going to answer these there, then please let us know. What are your methods to create an egregore or a servitor?
First of all, visualization. I mean, I actually do a journey to source first, go to a high place where you can actually draw the energy of the universe. More traditional way, if you haven't learned that yet, is simply to draw energy out of the universe through visualization and breathing. If you close your eyes and cast your mind out of the universe, right across millions and millions of light years through the stars, imagine drawing all gradually towards you. So it's getting more and more dense as it gets closer, coming to bigger as the earth and bigger to the town that sits in front of you. That's a really, really strong concentrated bubble of energy drawn so much energy into it. You then give that a shape, a purpose, a name, a lifespan. See, it's been born. This is its state of birth, like any living thing. Give a name and purpose and a form. Shape that energy, you now have an egregore. That's a servitor that will do something for you. You can do journeys to journey up to creator, go beyond this universe to actually draw from the spiritual worlds again and get it, the creator to work with you to do it even faster. So you make incredibly powerful servitors that way. Then if you put it on the sonic chart, you're feeding with the kind of great pyramid and all these PowerPoints put onto it to keep you more energy to get stronger and stronger.
How do you know if a spirit is an egregore or not?
You used to recognize an egregore because it only does the same thing. It's very limited in its nature. It does what it's created for, nothing else. An intelligent spirit can be conversed over many things. You have much wider personality.
Thank you. Moving on to the next question. Is it possible for an egregore to become a tulpa or god? And what's the difference between an egregore, tulpa, and deity?
A tulpa is the next stage because we're actually making the egregore to get to the point where it can reproduce itself, which is a natural thing of living things anyway, as you raise energy. Remember, when something gets enough energy, it becomes a living thing. It starts taking the same patterns as any other living thing. It wants to grow, become stronger. So when you put more life force into an egregore, you can actually end up making a tulpa, which can now reproduce itself. And of course, things reproduce exactly the same, don't they? You might learn different skills later on, but every species only creates the same species again when it reproduces, produces the same kind of egregore. So a tulpa can now reproduce, becomes like a living thing. won't really be a god because it's not in charge. It's only doing what you created it for. It's not the creator. You see the gods as the creators, something rules over a certain principle. So therefore, an egregore or a telpa will not become a god. Become godlike in their power if you give enough energy. But you're the one in control. You'll be the god. You know? If you've got me such powerful telpas, you're like a god.
Thank you. Next question. I'm reminded as you're speaking about quantum entanglement. Is this similar or the same?
Quantum entanglement is simply the same old principle as web of weird. Everything is connected to everything else because space is illusion. When we get into quantum physics, we realize that space and time are just principles that are created by observation. If you actually step outside them, they don't exist. Everything is really one point. Therefore, everything is connected. Everything is the same. So everything is connected to everything else in the universe. That way, something that you do here is felt at the other edge of the universe at the same time. It means it doesn't have to be limited by the speed of light anymore because it's all one. It's beyond that, beyond all the normal laws of physics. Quantum entanglement is similar to that connection between all things. It used to be described as the web of weird. Everything is seen as a web. You know, shake a web and one strand, it shakes the whole. Everything is felt in the whole web.
Perhaps working on destroying the paedophilia egregore would be a good way of breaking down corruption and control in governments and religious institutions. What kind of protection would we need when working in this way?
Well, basically, these people are going to fight back because there's some pretty corrupt people who are also paedophiles. The reason this is because it's about shame. You see, when you have shame and don't know how to deal with it, you pass it on to somebody else. Abusing a child is a way of passing on shame. That child is innocent. You take it as shame, you shit on it, you pass your shame on because you don't know how to deal with it. So a company that's already becoming corrupt, the governments are becoming corrupt, heading to that direction. Becoming a paedophile is an end result of that shame cycle. You're spreading shame, dumping on everybody else this way, and they're getting more shameful. Their behavior gets worse because the shame grows. So what you're dealing with here is shame. That could have egregore in itself, but it's a base of shame, an egregore of how shame spreads. But what we have to do then is actually make sure the people who create the shame, it gets back to them. Because only they can forgive it. You see, in order to actually change the shame, get rid of the shame, you have to change behavior. Shame is basically remorse that's not used properly. Remorse is a positive feeling. You know you've made a mistake and therefore you want to do something about it and change it. With shame, you are the mistake. You're now defective, therefore you'll always behave in the same way. Because I feel defective inside, that's shame. They know they're wrong, but they don't care anymore. They carry on dumping shame on anybody else, and that's all they do. Can't even see they don't necessarily think they don't have any pleasure anymore. Their enjoyment is addiction. They have to pass shame on. Their shameful behavior becomes a kind of method of domination with their power over others. So this whole shame is based on their power over others. It's easy to dominate a child and abuse them because they're weak, they're smaller. They feel powerful by dominating and hurting them. So there's shame, there's sense of control. This is what's behind it, really. When you're dealing with egregores with people, then what's holding together is a shame. They're caught into that shame because they're brought into certain behavior patterns that are shameful. Things go against the human conscience because the egregore is taken from the conscience. They're doing things that are not right. Your conscience is there as part of individualization. As you're young and you grow up, if some things don't feel good, so you learn, maybe stop doing that, you change. Once it becomes normal behavior and you feel defective, you're going to have shame inside, which is not obviously always recognized, but it keeps you the same behavior. It's defective behavior because you're now defective. That's the pattern. What you got there is this egregore of broken, defective people. We're to pass on that shame to others and keep treading on anybody else and keeping the control patterns in place. Shame is just a byproduct of that mechanism. Shame is part of the process of how they become corrupted. And so, well, that's an egregore itself, they become corrupted. It's not even in the shame that's their egregore, it's the corruption behind it. They're shameful because they're corrupted. They're defective. They're no longer human. They've lost something, lost their souls. They're damaged, basically. This defective behavior has left an egregore of very damaged people. It's that egregore you're breaking down, understanding the damage that's there. People wake up and recognize. If you break the egregore of that down, people stop becoming human, recognize they're doing what they're doing is wrong. They start getting conscience again. Some are too lost. They have no soul left. They won't have any conscience whatsoever. If the egregore dies, they die. They're so attached to it. They become one with the demon, as it were.
What is the best way of protecting and hiding our own egregores?
That's something you can actually teach you to do by bothering the energy from beings who do it naturally, things which camouflage themselves, things which cloak themselves. Look in nature, things like chameleons, cuttlefish, all these things, especially in the sea, which become so blended with the background you can't see them. These qualities can be brought into your egregore, so it also knows how to cloak itself. So just bring those qualities in when you create an egregore. Then nobody can see it.
Can you suggest runic dragon fairy spells to work with egregores? Guess these can also be put on the psionics plate.
Oh, they can all be put in. So even when you create a spell with the runes, you can create an egregore with those runes, and then those particular runes are part of that egregore's nature, of its power. So yeah, you can work all these things together.
Sorry, typing away. How to use it in a family? There are so many liaisons and problems, more multidimensional than in companies, governments, more difficult to define. So how to find the egregores within families?
Again obviously in the family, there's always going to be like communication and things to solve, and there's communication going on because, you know, you're dealing with different boundaries. Each person has their own boundaries. They've got to learn how to get on together. But there are certain patterns you can see in an egregore in how that family's learned to communicate. You know how things could be better, but this becomes automatic. This behavior pattern, family behaves in a certain way, they communicate in a certain way. They all have the same kind of arguments going on, the same kind of anger or whatever. If you recognize certain patterns, you can actually neutralize those by putting the right mates into the chart. So look at the family's behavior and try and define the behavior that's not right. What seems to be going automatic that's not good for them? Those are the kind of qualities of the egregore that's to change. Of course, there's got to be a family egregore because it's a family. It's going to be doing something. Rather than destroy your issue, you're changing it. Neutralizing negative qualities and putting in some positive ones. So try and define what has gone wrong in that whole family pattern. What is the whole family doing that's not working? What's the way they all communicate that's dysfunctional, you know? Is there a thing of nobody listens to each other? Is there a thing where nobody can actually... is so insecure they had to put their own will across, not listen to the other person, you know, all the patterns there, insecurities, control, you know, look at the issue in that family egregore. Neutralize that.
Thank you. Right, so regarding helping with breaking down egregores and also helping us build up positive ones, what type of dragons would we use? Abundance dragon for positive egregores?
Well, that's for abundance, which should be part of a positive one, yeah. But actually, a bit of each of them, really, because they could all do something. You know, it all depends on, you choose the quality of the egregore first and then decide who's going to go in that fits with that quality. Or it's easy to start with the runes, you know, because, you know, you've got a certain set of what the runes do. They're all the basic qualities of life. And you put those in first, and you can find egregores, actually, the dragons and any other spirits, even djinn, that agree with those qualities. They can all be part of it to give it strength. But dragons are more flexible, you see. They're not like an egregore. They're intelligent, they think. They won't really be confined to an egregore. They can help it, but you don't really have one egregore for one dragon. It doesn't work that way. Just think of anything that can help and bring them all in.
Just a reminder that I'm asking all egregore related questions first, and then I will go on to non-related questions. So moving on to the next one, I recall you saying before that Boji stones are good for discreating egregores. What is there a difference between working with Bojis and psionics? Is there a difference?
There is a difference, yes. Obviously, two different things, but even the energy of Boji stone could be brought into psionics to amplify it. Boji stone just has the right resonance, breaking anything down that's artificial. You know, it's like, you know, things created as living things. We create thought forms, which are less permanent. The Boji stone can break those down. Actually, you want a pair, male and female. You look at Boji stones come in pairs. You've got the two Boji stones, male and female, and hold them in your hand. Then go, your commands break down, will then break down. You simply do it by an act of will. Very easy to do then. So Bodhi stones make the process easier. With Sion X, it's like takes less focus. You simply douse rates to neutralize that particular quality or to neutralize egregore. You can use a pep to avoid it, for instance, different talismans you can use. It's just a different way.
Thank you. Can you send out the intent that every power move one of these egregores makes, whether governments or the WEF deep state, that it backfires and flips into something positive, like exposure of what they are up to?
You could put that in, yes. But not the easiest way. I said the easiest way to affect an egregore, because of its primitive animistic nature, is in a pain-pleasure response. You want it, their behavior to become painful to them. Exposure is one thing, but already have so much in, already have so much investment in not being exposed. There are truth spells you can do around there, break through it, yeah. Not the same as affecting the egregore. If you want to change the egregore, so they said most of them don't have conscience, so it's not going to work that way. You have to go to the simple pain-pleasure response. Make sure that their negative behavior hurts them. Every time they do it, it's something painful.
Can an egregore travel with you formed around your own purpose? Or should that be, can an egregore form around your own purpose and travel with you?
Can do, yeah. Really, they'd be on time and space, they'd be anywhere, but as soon as you actually observe it in a certain place, there it is. You can have it in a certain place, like maybe a sonic chart existing there, where it can be in your aura following you, or it can be just beyond time and space, be able to affect you wherever you are.
If physical reality is a simulation or a matrix, and we live in this simulation, can we think that the whole creation is an egregore and programming that needs to be broken and set us free?
It started off that way, yes, because it started off as a thought. All universe is created first of thoughts with emotion in it, so yes, it's created as an egregore. We all created as visually as egregores by the one great creator. So when we are creating smaller egregores, we're doing the same thing. But some of these bigger egregores of the whole universe is a bit big for us to influence, isn't it? We can affect the ones in our lives and in our little world here. But this is a tiny little speck in our vastness of the universe and the other universes. So it's like, you know, creators doing it on a far greater scale than we are. But it's the same thing, really. We are also creators. We're the God's known little world. And so when we look at the egregores around us, we can start and blitz them all and therefore change the world. Ongoing work, though, we're hopefully making it easier.
Regarding your psionics plate, so using your psionics plate, what is the rate for abundance and wealth?
That can vary, you see. Each person, according to the work you do, have a slightly different way of making wealth. And how you spend it is also different, therefore it's going to be different. There are rate books with their rates written for wealth, but actually it's best to douse your own because you're very unique. What does wealth mean to you? Now, what you spend it on is different from another person. How you earn it is different from another person. Therefore, its vibration is different. So simply douse one for yourself. Go into your work, your intentions, what you want to buy, what you're going to spend it on. What does abundance look like for you? So to different people, abundance can be due to different things. Some people just measure it in terms of money, but actually money is nothing until you spend it. Look at how it's going to affect your life, what you're going to spend it on, what the things in life that are going to make you happy. Look at the whole feeling of it. But also, I said, also look at your work, how much you're earning. You know, you have a different way of earning from somebody else. Therefore, the abundance is a very individual thing.
And
interesting that in
about-
certain cultures give certain numbers to abundance. Like in China, it's eight. Eight is one number of abundance. You may have loads of eights, but that's a very fixed way. You know, it's better to actually douse your own.
And you did talk about your predetermined list. So what are the books about psionics you recommend with the list of predetermined numbers for the rates?
Well, there's the one I put out along with the Ultra course. I put a rate book in there just for extra little thing to play with. But actually, I hardly ever use them. I just douse my own every time. Those are really better for beginners. So you want to look up some rates, come with a douse, and they give you something to start with, because every disease, everything you can think of has a rate, which somebody else has doused, basically. When you douse, it might be a bit different, and that's okay. It's personal. It's your relationship to the universe.
There are entities that exaggerate an already existing memory of pain or store memories in one's preconscious mind. So when the situation demands, they can trigger that negative memory to hone certain emotions out of people. How do you get rid of this so that they can't store this in the first place?
Well, first of all, that is an egregore itself, pain egregore. So you can just dissolve it in the same way, separate it, dissolve it. Also, you have to release the pain that's behind it. Maybe there's still pain inside you anyway, they're triggering. It's in you until you actually let yourself feel it. In a healing process, you've got to welcome out in a hidden pain, let it all out. When it's felt, it's gone, finished. If you actually get clear in original pain that way, then it's they can't be touched anymore because it's gone. So two things, you've got to break down the egg roll through Psyonix. And then you can also just do your own healing and go through your own pain, release the original thought, the original memory of pain.
Is it possible to create an authentic violet flame talisman for transmutation of all things to be put on the Psyonix chart, please?
Yes, of course you can. You can make anything into a talisman. Yeah.
In voodoo, have you worked with Marinette and Azuli Giroge or Rouge? And are they as dangerous as one Bokor claims?
And we should sound it. There's Azuli Dantor, then there's Marinette Boishesh, you mean? She's actually was really dangerous because, yes, some of these Loire were originally people who became a Loire through their experience. And Marinette Boishesh was the one who actually freed Haiti from the Christian white control. They fought back. She made a pact with Azuli Dantor, who is her patron, because she was the original kind of woman, warrior figure for vengeance and protection, all those things. She did a pact with her, but she would die in the process. That's part of the pact. She could actually free her country, but she would just cost her own life. They burnt her at the stake, basically. And so that has become part of her, of the Loire she is. She's too about burning. She's seen as this crazy Loire who likes burning people alive. Very vicious. So when she's evoked, that's what she does. She burns people. It's very, very dangerous, yes. And she's invoked under Azuli Dantor, but also under Calfu, who opens door to all the dark ones. Think about that with Mared at Boishesh, you've got to go in the forest too. You can't do it at home. She likes to be out in the wild with a fire. You go out into the forest to make a fire and you invoke her there. And then she'll go out and burn people for you.
Is there a crystal more potent and transformative than Moldavite?
Transformative, I'd say the most transformative ones are Herkimer Diamond and Celestite. Moldavite is very powerful. It holds extraterrestrial energy. It comes from other planets and it tends to affect the third eye more. Whereas Celestite and Herkimer Diamond are more crown level. So Sugilite, actually. Very high vibration.
Thank you very much. And we have come to the top of the hour. So I know that there are just a few more questions that have not yet been answered. So please, if you are coming to the student call tomorrow, then bring your questions there and we can continue to ask those. Mm-hmm. Alternatively, you might like to put your question in the MeWe group and then Peter mm-hmm. will be able to direct his attention there. So we have 30 minutes break now. And then those of you who are joining us for the Magical Membership Workshop, we will continue the conversation about egregores. You should all have received your joining email and your joining link. I haven't received a link for the coming workshop yet. If you check your email, then everything should be there. I think that's everything. Sorry, I just got a bit distracted. So yes, we will speak to you in 30 minutes. Otherwise, tomorrow we have the students call, same time, 10 a.m. UK. MeWe group for those who have purchased one of Peter's online courses. MeWe group for those who have purchased one of Peter's online courses. Oh, and if you have purchased one of Peter's courses, you can join the MeWe group. I think that's what that note was for. Okay. Admin, please, if you could check in with Gwen as she has not yet received her email. There we go. There's the answer then. If you have not yet received your link to join the workshop, that you are a member or you have paid for the individual workshop, then please email now azshamanism@gmail.com and then the link will be sent to you. Mm-hmm. So again, if you have not received your join link for 30 minutes time and you have paid, then please email azshamanism@gmail.com. Peter, is there any final departing words from you?
Not really final, because you continue on for those who are here later, either the MeWe group or the next course or the next call. So we'll just leave it at that. See you all later. Yes.
Yes, so 30 sometime. Minutes for those of you for the workshop, tomorrow for those of you who are students, otherwise next month. Oh, Peter, quickly, what are you talking about next month?
I can't remember, actually, can't think of it right now.
Your workshop is healing the adolescent.
The adolescent, that's the one, yeah. So, yeah, it'll be about that. We looked at shame before in a child. Obviously, dealing with adolescents is far more complicated because adolescents are more complex. We look at more the kind of shame that's there and how to deal with it, how to heal all the issues of the adolescent anxiety, basically. And basically, that tends to get rid of the martyrhood. See, a child isn't actually a victim. An adolescent isn't actually a martyr, this difference. It's more complicated.
I'm very much looking forward to that topic. Some more information about that on in the most recent newsletter and on Peter's website. And obviously more information will come as the weeks go past, and a information video is already available so that you can have a look to see what we will be discussing in next month's workshop. And as always, the Q&As will be related. So thank you very much, everyone. We'll speak to you very, very soon.
Okay.
Bye.
See you all later then.
Bye. Bye.